Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Steph.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I liked that intro. No singing this week.
That was a very conscious effort.
I missed the singing.
Aw, next week.
Okay, great. You've got the voice of an angel.
Okay.
This week's episode, we're actually going on a little adventure. Steph, are you excited?
I'm ready to go on a trip.
Steph and I were talking, and we thought we really needed to put out an episode where we're taking you somewhere. Going to take you to Egypt today.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Great. Oh, there's the singing. It came back.
Yeah.
We need some escapism, and it's been a long time, I think, since we've actually talked about some specific like countries and cities that we've gone to and what we love about them. We've done more of the sort of practical travel advice. So we thought we would do a whole episode on Egypt. Now, Steph and I visited Egypt together in 2015.
Yes. Yes.
And we just wanted to talk about some of our favorite things there. And, you know, some of these places... You know, once we can all travel again, we want everyone to get excited about it and maybe put Egypt on your list.
Yes. And I actually got a little excited. So I went on all the government advisory websites. When we went, It said avoid all non-essential travel to Egypt.
Yep.
Granted, if you take coronavirus out of the picture right now.
Mm-hmm.
The travel advisory's gone down a little. It doesn't say that anymore.
What,
it says
for Egypt?
Exercise, yeah, it says exercise okay. A high degree of caution.
Right.
But it's not avoid all non-essentials. So, yeah. Hey, it's getting better to go once you can.
Well, and I know people that have gone to Egypt. So, again, like Steph said, 2015, it said avoid all non-essential travel. We went anyways because we're badass like that. And within 4 hours of being there was an ISIS car bombing explosion happening outside of our hostel, which we've mentioned that a few times, and we're not going to talk about the bombing. but it has opened up. I know some people that have gone back in the last 5 years, and they've done the pyramids and all the stuff you would expect to do in Egypt. So anyone that hasn't gone, if Egypt has ever been on your bucket list, you got to go. Because there's so much history there.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about all of that today. So,
and I want to say going into this episode, there's so much history and there's so much religious significance all around Egypt that it's overwhelming. Like we could talk about that for days. If today some of the things I love, some of the things I didn't love, you know, if those are the things you dream about, do you? There's so much in Egypt. Yeah. That was my first I knew I wanted to go there on this around the world trip. I'm like, I'm not traveling around the world, not going to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to you. I said, hey, well, I kind of told you everywhere I was going. And I think you picked Egypt. You're like, I'll meet you there.
Egypt was the closest country I think you were going to from like England. It's just, yeah. It's like a three or 4 hour flight. Yeah.
I only booked 5 days there. I think I was there for 2 days before you arrived. And the reason for that was because of the travel advisory. I was like, you know what? I really want to see the pyramids. I'll go in. I'll do a couple things in a few days and I'll get out. That was kind of my thinking. And even though I knew how incredible Egypt was before I went, it wasn't until I got there that I really realized, oh my God, I need to come back here. There's so much more to do and see.
Yeah. It's like you said, I was there for what, 4 days, I think. And it was the same with me. I just wanted to come and see the pyramids. That was it. Like that was one of those things on my travel bucket list that had been on there since I was like a kid. Like I remember doing, you know, school projects about the pyramids of Giza and then, you know, thinking one day like I got to see them. So I use this opportunity to be like, we're seeing the pyramids. And even if that's all I do, I'm happy with that and I can go home.
So I touched down and the first night I got there, I went to, they have this famous market called the Khan al Khalili Market. And it was, so I should say, I'll preface this with, we were there during Ramadan. So everything was just dead, shut, quiet, nothing going on during the day. Come 7 o'clock at night, it was like an entirely different place. The streets were packed. The shops were packed. It was crazy. So from my hostel where we were, I met someone, like another traveler, another tourist who was like, hey, I'm going here. Do you want to come with? Which I'm really grateful for, another benefit of hostels, because I don't think I would have gone there on my own, walking there by myself. Like, so he led the way, and this market was incredible. Like, if anyone's into shopping and bartering and, you know, beautiful Egyptian stuff, the Khan al Khalili market is iconic. You have to go there.
And nothing beats, I think, an Arabic market. Like, I've been to a lot of them. Egypt, Morocco. Steph, you've been there, haven't you?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Where you can just do all that shopping. And they're really like hustling, bustle, and there's people everywhere and people trying to sell you stuff and you can get stuff at a good price.
It was fantastic. So, and that was one of those things I never would have gone to. So I was pleasantly, you know, when you go somewhere you weren't thinking you would and you're really pleasantly surprised? That's what it was. That was the perfect start to really get me hyped for Egypt and to also let go of all those fears and all that crazy stuff people had told me leading up to me going there. And you could just tell, you're like, oh, so much of that stuff people tell you is bullshit. So that all went out the window on night one, which felt really good.
I always think, though, if you go to something like a market and just do a little people watching and just kind of sit back and look around and get used to your like surroundings, that's always, I mean, what you did was exactly what I would have done if I had arrived there like on my own as well. Go find a market and just see what it's all about. Like, this is real life there, you know?
Exactly. I think that's what I loved, was that insight. And then day two, what we did was Coptic Cairo. So I didn't even realize this existed until I got there. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole section of Cairo called Coptic Cairo, because I'm not a religious person is why I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But there's mosques there, there's synagogues, there's churches, all in the same place. You know, you get these visions of, you know, the Christians hate the Muslims and everyone's fighting. And you go and everyone's there together. The mosque is beside the church. Like, it's a very peaceful, beautiful, old historical region. And within Coptic Cairo, which I thought was pretty interesting. Now, I just said I'm not religious, so this will be confusing. But there's a church called the Church of St. Sergius and Bacchus. Mm-hmm. And that, it's built over the crypt where Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus rested when they were fleeing into Egypt.
Okay. I mean, I don't think you have to be religious to be interested in religion. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Just putting that out there. Because I'm also not religious, but I'm fascinated by different religions.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, just being around that history and, you know, really one of the oldest parts in the world. I don't know. It's one of those things that's very, you go there and you can physically feel the importance of the site.
And even when you talked about like the preconception of, you know, country like Egypt, where it's predominantly Muslim, and you assume like, oh, anyone else that practices a different religion, there's like headbutting and all that. I actually remember my taxi driver, when I went to the airport, when I left Egypt, we were talking about religion, and he was telling me that he was a Christian man. And he said, actually, there's like quite a large population of Christians as well in Egypt. He said something like 20 or 30%. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. He's like, yeah, like we accept everyone's religion here, you know, no different than you would in a place like England or Canada, or, you know, where you would imagine that everyone's allowed to practice the religion that they practice. But yeah, it's predominantly, yes, a Muslim country, but there's still, as you said, churches, synagogues, you know, and they happily live kind of amongst each other there.
Yeah. So that was a beautiful day. And then my favorite day, because you arrived that night.
Yeah, I finally got there. So the party really picked up in Cairo. Yeah.
So the next day was the big day. We did. This is still one of my favorite days of my life, is when we went to the pyramids. And the one thing I did not know. So you see pictures of people riding the camels around the pyramids. Yeah. So we've established in previous episodes, I'm not a good haggler.
No. Not at all.
And do you remember how when we were getting dropped off, they're like, you should pay no more than this for the camels. And we're like, okay, good. Yeah, we won't pay more than that. And we walk in. Say it was 500. I think it was 500 Egyptian dollars. They went in and we're like, how much would it be to get a camel? And they're like, 2,200 Egyptian dollars. And I was like, ugh. And I think you took over there because I was
probably.
I can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing, like, we've said this before, but nobody was there. So you're not going to overcharge me for a camel. So that's the thing, guys. When you get to the pyramids, I think some people think you can just like walk up to the pyramids when you get there. You can't. You need a camel. They are like far kind of into the... You can see them, but they're massive. You can see them because they're so big. And that was one of the things when we got there. I did not realize how massive they actually are.
And so when you're there, to be honest,
and when you're in the desert, you can see them from afar, and they don't actually look that far, but they are. So that's why you have to get on a camel. So our driver dropped us off. We get to the, I mean, I guess they're just tour guides there, and they're like, hey, like, you know, use my camel, we'll take you out to the pyramids. But yeah, haggle the price if you're gonna go, because you got to haggle every price in, you know, a place like Egypt. Like, everything is high. It gets quite exhausting after a while, but it's just how it works there.
And I remember the day we left, I was actually looking forward to someone not trying to rip us off.
Well, and it's not even like, I wouldn't say everything's ripping people off, but it is them. Like, that's just, that's how they operate business, right? Like, we're just used to walking into a Starbucks and going, hi, I'll take, you know, my cappuccino. And they're like, that'll be £2, whatever. You wouldn't haggle that. Like, that's just not our culture. But they're, like, they operate business by, you know, going back and forth, haggling a price. And so they do it with tourists as well. So I wouldn't even say it's, like, necessarily ripping people off. It's like, hey, I'm just trying to get the best price. And then you come back and... So just know, you know, what is a fair price, I would say, for everything while you're there. But especially camels. So I think we did get the camels for the price that our driver told us, because I stepped in, was like, nope, we'll pay this much. And we did. And off we went on our beautiful camel. I hate riding camels. Like, I hate.
I actually do too.
I actually don't know anyone. Anyone that's ever ridden a camel will tell you, like, they probably hate it as well. Versus people that have never ridden a camel. They're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get on a camel. It's like, no.
Have you ever just, and I didn't know this, the first time I rode a camel was in Morocco, and then I did it again in Egypt, and I have no desire to ever do it again. When they stand up, it's already, I think I literally screamed out in fear the first time when the camel stood up, because I thought I was going flying.
Oh yeah, you feel like you're going to get bucked off, but that's just how they stand up.
Yeah, and then, so... I don't like horseback riding either. Like, it always hurts me, and I'm always angry. Do you remember? I was angry by the time we got out to the pyramids. I was like, I hate this camel.
Horseback riding, though, you gotta, because you don't know how to ride a horse properly. It shouldn't.
No, it just hurts me.
It shouldn't, though. That's what I'm saying.
So we go out to the pyramids. They're beautiful. They're exactly what you think they are. They're big, big pyramids.
I just remember when we, again, like we were on these camels, and at the time that we went, there was no tourists, which was great. So Steph and I, some of the photos that we got were actually like the most perfect photos because there's nobody in the background. It's just us. I know other people that have gone to Egypt or to Cairo, or I should say Giza, mm-hmm. when it's super busy and they're trying to take photos and there's just people everywhere. So we were lucky in that sense. This is where it's like, hey, it pays off to travel to a country where there's a travel advisory. Not that I'm suggesting to do that.
One thing I didn't realize until we got out there was that you can actually go into the pyramids.
Yeah.
No, we didn't do that because they only do it at certain times, and the timing we got out there, it just wasn't practical for us to wait that long. But I never realized growing up that you could actually go into the pyramids.
I didn't either. And yeah, when we got back, everyone was like, did you guys go inside? I was like, no, we didn't realize until I think like it was later on that you could have. But you're right, the times. And when we were there, because there wasn't that many tourists, mm-hmm. I don't think they were operating at like normal hours. But also for anyone going, I cannot stress enough that when they say to wear long pants, bring a scarf, cover your shoulders and all that, like do it. Mm-hmm. Don't wear like short shorts and tank tops. Because first of all, if you're a woman, you got to cover those shoulders anyways and your knees. So we've done a whole episode on, you know, what you should wear to certain countries abroad. But definitely do that and bring that scarf where you can cover your head, because once you're out in that desert, mm-hmm. it gets windy, it gets hot, the sand like gets in your face. I mean, Steph, I think you had heat stroke that day.
Why do I get heat stroke so much?
I don't know. You're not hydrating enough.
I hit the point where I was overheating so much I got angry.
Yeah. But yeah, cover yourself up because it's really hot out there and bring water. But mm-hmm. just bring that scarf because I actually wore that around my head. People are like, oh, you're really trying to like get into the culture. I'm like, no, it's the sand. Like, I'm not wearing it as a fashion statement. You're in the middle of the desert. And you're sitting on a camel as well. You don't want your legs touching the camel. Like, just cover up.
Yeah. Do you remember the names of the pyramids, Andrea?
Oh, no. Can you name them?
I guess.
I feel like you have it in front of you, though.
I do.
What were the
and
names?
I am probably going to butcher these. So there's three pyramids. There's Khufu, mm-hmm. Khafre, and Menkaure. Yeah. So for anyone who would be interested, go inside.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's in there, what to expect. I think that's one of those things where if I did it again, I'd probably go inside.
Yes. And don't climb on them.
Yes, and don't climb
like,
on them.
Like we did, and we talked about this already in an episode, but the security guard told us to, which in hindsight we should not have.
True.
But they are massive. You can't really climb up them anyways. Again, when we say they're massive, they are huge. Huge. I don't know how those were built by, they say that slaves did it. To think something like that was built with no machinery.
Are you going to get on the alien conspiracies here now?
I don't know. No. No, I'm not one of those people. As much as I would love to believe in aliens, like, I don't believe it. Same with Stonehenge. I feel like everything has a practical explanation.
Yeah, same. Do you know what I think the best part of the pyramids was that anyone who's listening who will be going there in the future should do?
What?
The sound and light show.
Oh, my God. This was my favorite thing on our trip, because I love anything super cheesy.
Yeah.
And this like topped the cheese factor.
So we heard about it when we got there and we're like, what is this? We're like, we have to see it. They said there's a sound and light show at the pyramids. You go at night and they light up and there's music. And we're like, oh my gosh.
Like, it's like lasers. They're like, there's going to be lasers. And I'm like, where do I sign up? Give me lasers.
Yeah. So we go back. I think there was 7 people in total. So obviously with the revolution in 2011, the second one in 2013, come 2015, there were almost no tourists in Egypt. So when we went to the light show, we joke about how there were 7 of us, but it's actually kind of sad because there was thousands of chairs. So clearly there used to be that many people going to the show at night.
Yeah, they put these chairs out every night, and I don't know why they put so many out, because
true.
I don't know why they were expecting, and I would say there was probably hundreds of chairs, maybe like a few hundred, but but like it was strange. And then, yeah, there was, I think, like a family of four that bought tickets before us, and then we went up to buy tickets, and they had like two tiers of tickets.
Yeah, VIP. They? And yeah. regular. Yeah, and they wanted us to pay a couple hundred dollars to upgrade to VIP. And VIP are allowed to sit in the first two rows.
Yep.
And there was no one there. So we sat in the third row with no one in the first two rows.
I mean, I'm sure we could have still sat in the first and second row if we really wanted to. But yeah, it was quite funny that they were upgrading tickets. Like, would you like the VIP experience and sitting in the first row? Like, no, I think
around.
Third like, row's all right.
So but the show itself is hilarious because so we didn't really know what to expect, and then it starts with the Sphinx. He's like, hello, like, I am the Sphinx of Giza.
The audio, so you can tell that they made this back in like the 70s, like it's not a modern sort of production. It's very dated. And yeah, it starts, it's like the Sphinx is narrating this, but then the pyramids also start talking. And then there's also like a third narrator of some guy that he doesn't play anyone. Like, it's very bizarre.
But, it is very bizarre.
And it starts out, yeah, like millions and millions of years ago when I first came. It's like, whoa, who's talking? And you look over and there's like lasers all around the Sphinx. You're like, oh shit, it's the Sphinx is telling us a story. And then they just start putting these massive spotlights on the pyramids, and then there's music playing, and it's just like, it's very overwhelming. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of sounds, a lot of people talking, a lot of lasers flying up in the sky and making like laser photos of animals and stuff. I mean, I didn't really follow. I guess it's just giving you the history of, you know, the pyramids and the Sphinx. And so it's just telling that story. But it was bizarre.
Do you ever?
But I loved it.
For anyone listening, if you ever have those moments with your friends where something starts happening and you're just looking at your friend and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, that was this whole light show for over an hour. It was me and Andrea looking at each other being like, what are we watching?
Yeah. And we looked over at the family of four, the other peeps that were there. And even the kids looked a bit, I mean, I don't know how old their kids were, but even their kids were like, what's happening right now? Where am I? Yeah. But
how did we get here?
If you're into ultimate cheese factor, like I am, I love just cheesy shit like this, go to the Sound and Light show at the pyramids, because it's amazing. Yeah. And you actually do. I mean, if you're into history, we'll teach you the history in a, you know, I guess it's supposed to be like a really non-boring way of teaching people history, because it's like this and it's narrated and they're telling a big story. It's like, all right, well, that's kept my attention.
Definitely did.
But it was that was definitely fun. Loved it.
Loved it. Do you know what didn't keep our attention?
Alexandria.
Okay, that too. Yeah, Alexandria, that's for sure. That's actually a better answer than what I was asking.
Wait, I can't remember. What were you?
I was going to say the Egyptian Museum.
Oh, well, okay. I wouldn't say the Egyptian Museum didn't keep my attention, because the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, we also went there, I think, the following day. Because I do like a museum, especially like history museums with like old artifacts and stuff. Which, if you're going to Egypt, they've got old fucking artifacts. Like,
yeah.
But the problem with this museum is that nothing was labeled and nothing, like, you didn't know what you were looking at. And they did. Yeah. They had so much stuff. And granted, you know, they probably just find old artifacts all the time lying around in Egypt, and they just throw it in this museum. So yeah, it just didn't seem like they really put a lot of like work into trying to figure out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
What it is in the museum, yeah. And like from what year it's from, and I mean they do have King Tut's tomb in there, which we saw.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of them there.
Sarcophagus.
Yes, there was a sarcophagus display.
But I remember the even so King Tut, he gets lent out to exhibits, mm-hmm. all over the place. Like, do you remember when we were in New York later that year, Steph, and King Tut was in some exhibit there? But
yeah. I'm...
We had read a story about that, so the museum in Cairo, and how they tried to move King Tut, and the museum employees, like, cracked part of his, like, mask.
Yeah.
And this really just went along with the theme of, in Egypt, with all these artifacts and everything lying around, like, they just really don't take that good care of them. And this is exactly why, if we talk about the Rosetta Stone... Why England has the Rosetta Stone?
Well, England are also assholes. They've pillaged from every country. The thing is, and we're saying this about Egypt, but someone explained it to me while we were there, is that the actual problem is when the economy just was devastated after 2011, there was no money anymore. So they weren't paying anyone to work there. They weren't paying for upkeep. They didn't have the money. So that's why it was, you know, I think, had we gone 5 years earlier, we actually would have seen it in a lot better state.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I loved all the stuff I was looking at. I just didn't know what I was looking at. I don't know if that excuse is trying to move to King Tut and breaking stuff, though.
That's true. That is true. And then somehow when we saw them, so flash forward, I'm back in Canada. Andrea's going to New York for work, so I flew to New York to meet you there. And at the museum in New York... Of course, we were laughing because it was the Egyptian display and everything was labeled so well.
Yes, like, they did it.
Did you receive it like this? Like, did New York do the work?
I would have imagined New York probably would have done the work.
Yeah.
I would guess. Well, because otherwise they would have had people in Cairo doing it, right?
True.
So.
Yeah. We were walking around like, why is this better in New York than in Egypt?
Yeah. We got that authentic experience, though, in Egypt.
True.
And I know we talked about the Rosetta Stone. Now, if you're going to Egypt, you will see many replicas of the Rosetta Stone, because as I mentioned, it is in England. And England has had it for a long time. But I think, like you said, Steph, where they, you know, things, they don't maybe have the capacity to take care of things. I mean, it's probably safer where it is right now.
Talking about Alexandria as well, is when you're in Egypt at a lot of these sites, there's signs everywhere that say, if you see, you know, items that belong to Egypt in other countries, please tell us.
Yeah.
Like they want, like, it's like other countries are holding Egyptian artifacts hostage.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting. It just seems so... They were so open about it. They're like, other countries have stolen our stuff. We want it back. If you know where any of this is, tell us.
Mm.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Should I have told them, like, hi, so I know where the Rosetta Stone is.
Oh my God.
Imagine they didn't know. They were like, oh shit, really? Like, I'm the first one to tell them.
We're talking about Alexandria. This was somewhere where I was really excited to go.
And Alexandria used to be like the Mecca land mm-hmm. of Egypt, right? Like, this was the Mecca, and we were like, we got to go there. Like, it's not far. What was that? Like a couple hour drive? Couple hours
yeah.
drive?
Yeah, I think it was about three. That is where, like, pro tip, always confirm before you're getting in a car that your driver is, in fact, your driver.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where we got into the wrong car.
We just got into a random man's car.
And he started driving.
Yeah.
Whoops. But lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had to jump out at a red light and run back to our hostel.
I mean, we were not being kidnapped, but
no.
I think he thought he was giving us a ride.
Yeah. Weird.
Anyways, so then we made it to Alexandria with our correct tour guide. And the first things I remember seeing in Alexandria was garbage.
Yeah, a lot of garbage.
Everywhere. I'm not just talking like people throwing a bit of litter on the ground. Bags and bags and bags and bags and bags of like rubbish everywhere. And we asked about this. And, you know, Alexandria did not scream the land of Mecca to me when we got
no.
there.
The water was filled with trash. Like the trash was piled on piles on piles. And you could tell. And this isn't like they throw it out and it gets collected every week. This is, it had been accumulating for, it looked like years of trash.
Well, and didn't our driver explain to us?
What he said, this was just how he explained it to us, is that he said that after the revolution, when people were demanding democracy, mm-hmm. they didn't really understand what democracy meant. Mm-hmm. And they thought that with democracy come all these services.
Right.
So when you overthrow your government and you're going to democratically elect a new government, then you get services, you get trash collection, you get all this stuff. So they said people just had no idea what had happened and what it actually meant. And they just started throwing their garbage out thinking it would be collected.
Yeah.
And then
it's just piled up.
Yeah, yeah. It was almost a bit tragic, I would say.
It was. If you look at it, and again, when you read about a place like Alexandria and then to go and see the state that it's in, I don't know, this is 5 years ago, so maybe it's been cleaned up now, but again, we're not just talking like scattered, you know, tissue paper or whatever. Like, it was mounds and mounds and mounds and mounds of garbage, not only on the streets but in front of people's houses, in the water, like this yeah. like shoreline. Again,
I couldn't get a photo of the
I
couldn't get photos without garbage.
There was so much historical, you know,
beauty and significance.
Significance,
gone.
Yeah, that's it, of this place. And just to see it, it was a bit disappointing. I don't actually remember much from Alexandria. But, like, we went down to the beach, which was riddled with garbage. We went for a lunch.
But we did. So we did go to, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but we did go to Serapeum and Pompey's Pillar, which yep. was, like, kind of cool. And we were walking around. We're like, all right. And then we realized, so the catacombs of Kom al-Shakafa mm-hmm. are in there. And once yes. we went down into there, we were like, okay, this is cool.
Yes, like catacombs, old crypts and tombs and stuff like that.
And typical me, you were just walking around exploring, and I was so paranoid we were going to get lost down there. I was like mapping it in my head of how to get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even that big.
No, I was so scared. And then
Steph was scared a mummy was going to jump out at her and start chasing her through the catacombs. And I was like, yes, I hope a mummy jumps out, because I would survive.
I would be that person who would shove you towards the mummy to try to sacrifice you and run myself.
I mean, I've always wanted to be put in one of these situations with either like a mummy or a zombie, because I feel like I could survive this, and I want to test myself.
I wouldn't. We were like the first to get COVID. Like, we would be the first ones dead.
True. That's a good point.
Like, that's what I've learned. If the zombie apocalypse, I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
And this was such a weird dichotomy from going from the ruins to the Alexandria Library. They'd pumped millions and millions and millions. And I remember reading the plaque and we're like, this is all foreign money. Like, it didn't sound like Egypt. Yeah, paid for any of it.
I think England paid for a lot of it, probably because they have the original Rosetta Stone. So they're like, hey, you know what? We'll hold on to this, but we're going to give you some money to build a beautiful library. It is beautiful. Yeah. And it was air conditioned.
Actually, yeah, I think we hung out there for an hour just to cool down.
And but they did have a replica Rosetta Stone inside, just in case you're wondering.
Well, and then we left there and we went back and they were like, yeah, how, like, you just saw the best parts of Alexandria. And we were like, oh, goodness. And a couple years later, my parents went, and my advice to them was, I was like, honestly, don't go to Alexandria. Skip the whole day and do something else. But they were like, same thing. They're like, no, we have to go there. It's Alexandria. And after they were there, they were like, we wish we listened to you. Like, we actually wish we didn't spend a day there.
It's just one of those things, and it is disappointing, but it is such a place of, like, historical significance that I get why you got, like, that's why we went, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone that's gone in the last few years and been like, it's amazing. But if you're into history, though, and maybe that's it, I probably don't know enough about the history, you know, where anything has that. Like, I'm just looking around just seeing garbage and whatever. But if you're a history buff, you know, go. Like, you should. I think some places it doesn't, like, they don't necessarily have to be beautiful in order to, like, appreciate.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Now, I remember us finishing off our holiday in Egypt on a romantic cruise down the Nile. Mm-hmm. Steph, you remember our cruise?
I do. It was very romantic. Lots of singing, lots of candles.
Yeah.
Lots of photos.
This is a very, I wouldn't even say this was touristy, because on this boat, when we say cruise, it's like a big old boat with like a restaurant inside and then like the rooftop upstairs. And a lot of people that were on this weren't even tourists. Like, I feel like this is a thing that even the locals do for fun on, like, the weekends. But we bought tickets where you get a dinner. It's like dinner and entertainment. And, I mean, I don't remember the dinner. Food-wise, and I'm sure, like, people, you know, I think people travel a lot for cuisine purposes. I would not say the food in Egypt. I mean, we were there during Ramadan. So, like, we didn't really eat.
Like, we did not get a fair representation.
No.
Of Egyptian food. Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're known for, like, their cuisine anyways. But anyways, what we did eat, I don't remember what we had on the boat. But then we went up. The entertainment was Sufi dancing.
Yes. So Sufi whirling.
Sufi whirling. So Sufi whirling. So in Egypt, they call it tanora. So this is these are the dancers you see with the big, like, they just twirl and twirl and twirl, and they've got the big, almost like a cloak. It almost looks like Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor
Dreamcoat. That is what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Go, 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 Joseph, you know what they say.
Exactly. They call it in Egypt tanora, which that essentially just means the colorful skirt. And so this guy was twirling his life away.
Yeah, he was.
And I think he had, like, fire sticks as well.
They had fire, they had dancing, they had twirling. I don't know what it is about me that people pinpoint me, but they're like, we're gonna make this chick do it too.
Oh, did you do it? I don't remember this.
Oh, so he came out, he pulled me out of the crowd, mm-hmm. and he brought me up onto the dance floor. I have videos of this that you took.
Oh, I remember this now, yeah.
And he put the skirt on me, and let me say, these skirts are heavy. Mm-hmm. And it was drenched in sweat. It was disgusting. It was like someone putting 4 inches of their sweat onto your body.
That would not fly during COVID.
No, long gone are those days. It was so gross. But I was up there and obviously you can't be like, ew. So he put it on and I did it. And I just, it was a fun night. It was really fun.
It was a fun night. The only thing I would say, which was kind of a downer, was the smell coming off of the Nile. So it doesn't smell great because, again, there's a lot of garbage and crap that's been dumped in that river, which is a shame because, again, it has so much, like, historical significance. So it was a bit stanky on the boat, but it was one of those things. It was pretty cool to be like, hey, I'm literally having a cruise down the Nile.
Yeah. It was one of those things that for me, it was like the pyramids of Giza and a Nile cruise. Those were my things when I was going there. Yeah.
And the Sphinx.
And the Sphinx. Yeah. And the Sphinxy Sphinx.
We forgot about the Sphinx. I mean, what can you say about the Sphinx? There's not much you have to say. Iconic.
I think if I could change anything is that, so what happened is you left and then I went to leave shortly after, but there was some sort of, from what we were told, terrorist threat against the airline. I was supposed to fly from Cairo to Mumbai on Egypt Air. And it sounded like there was some kind of threat and my flight was canceled. Just straight up canceled. So I took that as a sign as I was actually supposed to stay in Egypt longer and went down to Luxor.
Luxor is supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah, and I so wish you were there, because in Luxor, I would tell everyone, honestly, to spend 2 days in Cairo, max. 2 days in Cairo.
We didn't even really talk about that. Like, the city itself in Cairo, and as you can imagine, for a place that was at unrest for so long, like, it's not the nicest looking of places. There's buildings that are falling down. As we said, there's kind of garbage everywhere. Like, it's not some, like, hustling, bustling metropolitan city. You know, you go there to then go see the pyramids, really. Or, you know, if you're on business or something. Like, I was asking my driver this on the way to the airport, and that's what he said. He was like, we don't really get tourists here anymore because look at it. Like, those were his words. He said, look at it. Why would anyone want to come see this? But
I think I did appreciate standing in Tahrir Square. For anyone who's familiar with what happened during the revolution, there's a great movie you can watch called The Square. That came out in 2013.
I think it's on Netflix, isn't it? I watched it on Netflix.
Yeah. So I really kind of appreciated, you know, you hear about these things and you see them, but standing there, you really do get more of a feel for what actually happened there.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that was powerful in Cairo. But other than that, I think 2 days in Cairo and then head down to Luxor. I've never had my jaw drop so many times in a matter of days. It was just place after place after place that left me completely speechless.
What did you do there?
Give you a quick rundown, but the Valley of the Kings is there. Karnak and Luxor temples. The one place that really took my breath away is called Medinet Habu. It's the temple of Ramses III. And then I did a hot air balloon ride over the Valley of the Kings. And I just don't have words. It's like all these things you hear about Egypt and you talked about the pyramids, how it's incredible trying to actually imagine people building it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same feeling I got at every temple in Luxor. It's you walk in and you think, how could they have done this? Like, it just, your mind can't wrap around how this could even be done in modern times, let alone over 5,000 years ago. So I wish I could have spent a month in Egypt. I thought it was going to be a couple days, in, out, get out. And I could have stayed for weeks longer than I did.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot more to see. It depends how long your trip is. I mean, the 4 days I was there, for me, I would say if you're only there for a short period of time, go do the pyramids.
Oh, this is going to go to show how little I knew about Egypt when I went. And I was just thinking pyramids. As I went and I met other travelers, I kept hearing about these other places like Aswan and Dahab and Sharm el-Sheikh and Abu Simbel. And like, I have to go back. When you actually start reading about these places, it's like, how had I never heard of them?
Yeah, we'll put them on your bucket list for when we can travel again.
Oh, they are. And are you going to meet me there again? We'll hike Mount Sinai. And we can go up and God can give us the next 10 commandments.
Yeah.
Imagine he did. And we were the next Moses.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I mean, maybe.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that was our experience in Egypt. But as Steph said, I mean, we haven't done all of it yet. I mean, I certainly haven't.
I feel like we just scratched the surface.
Yeah. But if you guys have any tips for Egypt, if you've been to parts of Egypt that we haven't even mentioned today, let us know so we can add it onto our bucket list. And hopefully we were able to give you guys a bit of escapism today.
Yeah, a little bit of insight into the beautiful side of Egypt and the not quite what one expects side of Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed escaping for a bit and reliving our vacation to Egypt from 5 years ago. And I feel like we need to do, I want to do some more of these, especially at a time where we can't really travel. And we'll just take you on, you know, an old journey of mine and Steph's. Or maybe it might be individual journeys, because Steph and I have not traveled everywhere together. Although we would like to.
Yeah.
We'll do a few more of these episodes. And if there's any specific places that you want us to talk about, tell you about our little adventures there, let us know.
We'll scratch your itches, baby.
Yeah. Thanks all, as always, for listening.
All right, see you next week, guys.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.